It's the Personal Edge Fitness Show, a guide to improved health and fitness. You deserve a successful lifestyle, and Garrett Williamson will show you how. Dispelling the myths of fitness, nutrition, and health, because you deserve to live well. Now, the guide for your journey, your host, Garrett Williamson.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Personal Edge Fitness Show. Welcome back. If you've heard our show before, if you're just now joining us, thank you for reaching out. Thank you for listening. I talk so many times on this show about our clients. I'll use a lot of client stories. Obviously, after being a personal trainer for 28 years, I have quite a few stories on clients. And when I'm speaking about all these different subjects, it reminds me of certain clients. And so I discuss them. And so I've also talked about our breakdown of our clients. We have a little bit of our demographics. Our youngest client's 7. Our most senior client is 89. And our median age is 39. We have 35% of our clientele is over the age of 65. But the other facts and figures that we have about our clients come to us for all aspects, all manners of fitness and wellness. We've taught 3 people to walk again. We've got several scholarships to our name and everything in between. But the most common reason that people come to see us, and I'm not surprised we get this, of course, in Alabama, that is that 75% of our clientele come to us for weight loss. And in weight loss, there's a question that I hear that people ask and that I hear a lot about. And there's a lot of articles written about this. And I think that certain media outlets love this article, this writing this about this subject, because it's one that they love to create this argument, and they can write, we can rehash this article, you know, year after year after year after year, month after month, if they wanted to. And that is the argument that what's better for weight loss? Is it exercise or is it nutrition? Well, like I tell people, that's sort of like saying, what's better for my engine? Is it oil or is it gas? And the two don't compete. You need both. You need oil and gas in your car, and well, you need nutrition and you need exercise in your program. And if you listen to my radio show on metabolism, you heard me talk about breaking down metabolism to its simplest state, I guess you'd say, or simplest explanation, and that is metabolism is really nothing more than calories in, calories out. Where the exercise part is the calories out. And most people, when they come to see us, you know, think they're going to get started with exercise, they're going to start burning this fat off, they're burning this excess weight off. And they're not incorrect. They're not incorrect. But when they come to us, they're like every other human on the planet. They are, believe it or not, they have a diet. And the reason I say that is that diet doesn't mean restrictive. It does not mean weight loss. It does not mean some kind of a special structured program. Diet actually means just an eating program. You know, if you overeat, that's a diet. Believe it or not, it's overeating. If you're controlling it, that's a diet. If you're not eating at all, believe it or not, that's a diet. It's just that's what the word means. When our clients come to us and they're looking for weight loss, at that time, typically, they're not measuring their food. They're not controlling it a whole lot. They may have a basic idea of how much they're eating or what they're eating, and most of the times, really don't know how much. But they're typically eating to what we call a point of satiety. In other words, they're eating till they're done. They're eating till they're in some cases full. But that doesn't always mean – that's not always the case. But they're eating to a point of satiety. And what happens when we add exercise and we increase the calorie expenditure? If they're already exercising, well, that's great. But if they when they start training with us, of course, we're going to do some more exercise. So they're actually burning more calories. What happens a lot of times – and this has developed into a myth for a lot of people – a myth that they can't lose weight through exercise. They can only lose it through restrictive diets. And that's not true. What happens is if you're expending more calories, but you're eating to a point of satiety, well, your point of satiety has now moved. And since you're only perceiving this, you're not measuring. I have a show coming up to talk about the difference between perception and measuring. If you're only perceiving it, in other words, I feel like I need more food, or I feel like I'm not full, or I feel like I'm not done, then you're not measuring. Therefore, you're slowly increasing calories. And I have plenty of people that tell me, I'm not eating anymore. There's no way. I'm not eating anymore. That's not what's happening. It's impossible. If you're expending more calories and you're taking in the same amount, you're gonna lose something. You're gonna lose some mass that's gonna go away. But unless you're maintaining, unless you're eating more. And this the reason for this is happens to be my topic today. There's the story I like to tell about called the Mints story, M-I-N-T-S, Mints. They used to when I worked in a facility and we had a jar, and it was these nice little lifesaver looking mints that are individually wrapped. You've probably seen them in restaurants before. And they were we had them sitting at the front desk because that was a nice little thing for people to grab a mint. And we would go through bagfuls of mints every week. And I kind of looked at that one day, and I was talking to the people involved in the facility. I said, you know, that I'm not so sure that's – we need to have that up there. I'm not so sure we need to have that jar up there. So we decided to remove it. And what was interesting was it was almost like it was almost a Pavlov's dog situation. And the reason I say that is that people would come in and they would forget to do cardio. They would forget to wear the right shoes. They would forget whether or not we covered a particular body part that they really wanted to work on that day. But I tell you what, if they had gotten a regular steady stream of those mints, they would, hey, where's the mint jar? They never forgot that. They knew that the mint jar was gone. And what that has to do with and why it ties into my story about people doing weight loss and people eating to a point of satiety and people thinking that even though they're exercising, they're not losing weight, but they can't be eating more, is the difference between craving versus hunger. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about what is the difference between a craving and a hunger. Because hunger, believe it or not, and I'll tell you about this as we go through the show, believe it or not, hunger has nothing to do with somebody being overweight. Now, you may be surprised to hear that. Because there's plenty of people that tell me, gosh, I'm doing this program. I happen to be eating a certain way. And boy, I'm hungry all the time. And that's, they're getting confused. There's a lot of confusion between what is a craving and what is a hunger. And there are significant differences between the two. And understanding the differences, understanding what makes up a craving and actually what is hunger, and understanding how to address those is the key to weight loss. It's the key to weight control. It's the key to cut abs. I mean, it's the key to a lean look if that's what you want. It's the key to like I say, weight control. That's probably the best explanation I can give of what we're after here. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to break down, as simple as I possibly can, exactly what is a craving. And as I've done in every other episode, when I'm talking about changes in the body, things going on in the body, when I talked about stress, I talked about that's not just something you think that's going on. It's actually a physical reaction. I got into a lot of complicated hormones and what have you, telling you about that. But explaining that, yeah, there's something going on there. When I talked about metabolism, I talked about the mechanics of in the body, what was going on. It wasn't just an idea that I was born with a certain type of metabolism. It was fast or slow, whatever. Actually, there's reactions going on in the body. And when you've got a craving, there are reactions going on in the body. And when you've got a hunger, there's something else different going on. So we're going to break that down today. We're going to tell you about cravings and hunger, and tell the difference between the two, what each one of them is, and then the difference, of course. And then we're going to talk about how to notice it, how to tell the difference between them as you're going through your day, and then how to control them. So just a reminder, you're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Radio Show. And if you're interested in getting in touch with us, have any questions about this topic or any other, anything on health or fitness, please feel free to call us on our phone line at 251-278-3343. That's 251-278-EDGE. Leave your name and where you're calling from and your question or comment. You can contact me via my Twitter feed at TeamPE, at my email address, Garrett@personalizedfitness.com, and website and Facebook page of the same name. Hey, come back. We're going to dive into craving versus hunger. I'm telling you, this is something you don't want to miss, and it'll probably answer a lot of questions about your own program. Stay tuned.
To the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right. Back to talking about craving and hunger. Now, as I said, you know, we deal with this a lot because we have so many of our clients come to us for weight loss. And it's not just weight loss that this particular phenomenon affects. But that's a big factor of it. And since so many people come to us with weight loss, and most of the time when anybody on the street is asking me about fitness questions, or if I'm giving a talk and people are asking fitness questions, it's typically centered around weight. It's a very popular theme. So this particular concept is extremely important. And knowing understanding what each one of them are is important. Now here's here's the educational part of the show, and I always get into definitions. But I was the kid in the carpool, kept raising his hand. Mrs. Johnson, I know you just told us that special fact, but tell me why. I want to know why. And so understanding what each one of them are is extremely important. Will help us more accurately move forward. So let's talk about cravings first. So I'm going to go for a simple definition. A craving is a powerful desire for something. It's a powerful desire for something. And that's simple, the simplified, of course, but I think everybody can understand that. So we use desire in that definition, but it's a longing. It's a yearning. It's a hankering. It's a hunger. It's a hungering. In some instances, I've had clients say this before. I don't have a hunger or a craving or a desire. I just have a taste for something. Well, it's a taste for something. It's a thirst. It's a pining. It's a want. It's a wish, fancy, urge, need, appetite, greed, lust, ache, burning, addiction. All those words can be can replace desire in a powerful desire for something. And that's what a craving is. So it's an overwhelming emotional experience that takes over the body and produces a unique motivator of behavior. Now, the reason I bring up that second definition, talking about craving, is the word emotional. It's overwhelming emotional experience. And it does take over your body. I mean, it's strong. It's real strong. And if you have ever experienced the cravings and you understand the difference between the two, you know what I'm talking about. It really does take over your body. Wanting and seeking, it's typically wanting and seeking, especially in what we're talking about, a chemical. Now, psychologists state that a craving is a memory. This is very important. Craving is a memory of positively rewarding effects of something. And that's significant. And the reason it's so significant is because, and I don't know if you've ever realized this before, but you cannot have a craving if you've never experienced the substance. It doesn't mean that you wouldn't try something. It doesn't mean that whatever's driving you towards that craving isn't there. And that you may, you know, I don't have what I usually crave, but I'm going to give this a shot. I'm going to give something a try. But actually craving whatever that substance is. You don't have a craving until you've actually experienced it. It is operating off of memory. And that's very significant to remember as we go along here. Because as with many of the topics I talk about and physical things that go on in your body, it starts in the brain. Though it may persist for years, cravings cannot be organically produced. So your body's not just creating a craving out of nothing. You're not going to have a situation where you just all of a sudden want alcohol, unless it was placed into your in your body through a memory, you're not going to crave it. You're not going to crave a drug. You're not going to crave. I can go on for days, but it exists from a memory. And the way that develops, the way that develops is a memory is craving is a memory of the positively rewarding effects of something. It's a positive thing. It's a good thing. Your brain remembers the way it felt. Wow, that was enhancing. It's not a painful thing. So I'm not sure how many people crave things that taste really bad, but it's got to have some kind of a positively rewarding effect. And it's hard to use the word positive when I'm talking about a craving, especially because cravings that's involved in drug use, and that's involved in overusing alcohol, alcoholism, what have you. I'm talking about some pretty negative things, but I say it's a positive rewarding effect because there's a feeling you get, there's a high that you get from a drug. There's a high you get from caffeine. There's a high you get from alcohol. There's a high you get from exercise. And we've seen people that are literally craving exercise. Now, if you don't work out, and you've heard people say, oh my gosh, when you start doing it, you get addicted, and you're thinking, yeah, right, that's really going to happen. I'll never forget John Panette, one of my favorite comedians. And so sad that he passed away in 2014. He actually went through he was a very, 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 very large, very talented, extremely talented comedian, very large comedian. But one of the things he talked about were Chinese buffets. If you remember some of his sketches, he's actually a very talented singer. He ended up playing in Hairspray. He played the part that John Travolta played in on Broadway. John Travolta did that, or maybe done it in the movie. But John Panette actually was on Broadway. He played the one where a guy dresses up like a girl, because he was such a great singer. But one of the things that John Panette said when he actually started going through his weight loss, and he actually lost a substantial amount of weight. He said that his trainer told him, you know, when you start going at this, you know, start working out, you're going to become addicted. And I loved his comment about it. He said, no, I think I've got the willpower to quit this anytime. But the reason they're talking about, you know, the fact that you can get addicted, you're an exerciser that does on a regular basis starts getting addicted, starts craving endorphins, which very simply described as a type of morphine that your body produces that, from what I understand, we can't even replicate. So you can get a craving. You can get a craving. Again, that's a rewarding effect. That's a rewarding effect, just like the caffeine, just like food can be, sugar can be, this kind of thing. So the addicted brain has an excellent memory for the drugs it has learned to love. And I'm using drugs loosely here because it means an addictive chemical. Like I said earlier, that craving is a wanting and seeking a chemical. And excuse me. And this is the memory is typically formed in the first hit. It's formed in the first use of that chemical, whatever you crave. And this explains why craving may occur even years after the last time you were to take part in that substance. If I was talking about exercise being a craving, and if you stopped exercising, you go back to running and what have you, your body will remember that endorphin. It really will. Okay, so that's a craving. A lot going on in the mind. What's a hunger? Well, definition of a hunger is a feeling of discomfort or weakness caused by lack of food, coupled with the desire to eat. Now, that's not a craving. You feel the weakness in because of the lack of food, and your brain is stimulated, and it says, hey, we need to fill this tank, and that is a desire to eat. That's not a craving. That's a desire to eat to satisfy hunger. Some people even become irritable. You may have experienced this, shaky or even disoriented, lightheaded. If they're not fed at their usual mealtime, your body gets trained to this. Others experience hunger as a feeling lightheaded, empty, low, headachy, hollow. There's a lot of different symptoms, and typically they're very physical. They're very physical symptoms. There's a reason for that. After a meal, our gastrointestinal tracts slowly empty by pushing food through the stomach and the small and large intestines. Now, stay with me a minute because I'm going to get a little scientific. Specialized contractions called the migrating motor complex. Let's go with MMC. Sweep up undigested food, which is a process that takes around 130 minutes. The final phase of the MMC, remember migrating motor complex, is regulated by a hormone called motilin. Now, motilin-controlled contractions cause the rumbling, that rumbling you get when you're actually hungry in your stomach. And they coincide with what we call hunger pangs in humans. And it seems like we're always talking about hormones when we're dealing with the body, and that is a lot of what we deal with. And motilin is not the only hormone implicated in hunger control. Ghrelin is another. And we're going to talk about ghrelin in a few minutes. But ghrelin is another, and it controls appetite and plays a part in fat storage. That's why I bring it up. That's why you need to know about it. And don't worry, I'm getting off my scientific horse now. But you can kind of tell the difference between hunger is more physical, though it does send communications to the brain. It is more physical. And cravings is mostly in the brain. Now, the most important part of this is knowing the difference. And understanding the difference, we're talking about the definitions there, but I'm going to get into where you can start telling the difference, where you can tell the difference on a day-to-day basis on what is happening in your body. And I'm also going to tell you how we can combat it, how we can deal with it, how we can separate the two, and we can operate day-to-day based mostly off of hunger and not off of craving. Hey, you're listening to the Personal Edge Fitness Show. I'm Garrett Williamson talking to you today about cravings and hunger. Now stay tuned. The real good stuff is coming up.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
Okay, if you're just welcome back, or if you're just joining us, we're talking about the difference between a craving and a hunger. And most importantly, we're talking about it for weight control and weight loss. And as I was saying in the last segment, I gave the definitions for both, but the thing to keep in mind is that craving mostly is in the brain, is in the mind. And it's a reaction to a memory of something rewarding from a particular substance, and therefore craving that substance. And hunger is, though it does communicate to the brain, hunger is basically a function of the body. Now, most of us have not experienced real hunger. You haven't allowed yourself to go without eating typically for a long enough period of time to have felt true hunger. And believe it or not, you may not have experienced it since childhood. Now, you may debate me on this. You may think, oh Lord, I can finish a meal and I'm really hungry. Well, stay tuned. Each of us is born with an innate sense of hunger. Now, that's a good thing because we need to have that so we actually know when to eat. And when you were a baby and felt this sensation, you cried. Your mother or caregiver took care of this or pacified you with a bottle or a breast. And when you were no longer hungry, and if you've had a child or you've ever fed a baby, you probably experienced this. And when you're no longer hungry, when they are no longer hungry, they pushed food away. Can't get the child to eat. And the child's not hungry anymore. And before you could speak, you made yourself understood. Hey, hunger's done. I'm finished with it. As a toddler, beginning to eat baby food. I should say a side note here, because if you notice, this also happened in the Balance episode. I go back to childhood and show development. Well, the reason I go back there is you can see that when we end up overweight or we end up with these difficulties and problems, these are typically learned behaviors, but we weren't born with them. As a toddler beginning to eat baby food, you were still in control of your food consumption. Your mother might have thought you had to finish everything she served, but you typically had other ideas. So that's where we get the idea of, hey, clean your plate for breakfast, clean your plate for dessert, and we start actually pushing ourselves to take in more, and hunger's actually satisfied. You might have clenched your teeth or not permitted one extra spoonful of anything in your mouth when you were a toddler. And your mother or caregiver might have pushed your cheeks together trying to force you to open your mouth. But you wouldn't. And the reason being is that, you know, like I say, you've taken care of hunger. Sometimes people talk to me about this. They talk about their babies trying to eat more. And there's times when a child is underweight and they're trying to get the child to actually add more weight, it's difficult. It's difficult because the child is not is once their hunger's gone, they're not going to take in more. And there's a reason for this. In fact, there's a reason why this happens. And it doesn't just happen in children. It happens all through your life in adults. This is something we see with, believe it or not, just in extreme cases that we see with very slender people and sometimes recovering anorexics. And that is that anybody that knows them or sees them or understands their situation as far as that person is trying to be, you know, trying to recover through anorexia. And anorexia, just to keep in mind, is not just being thin. It is problems in the mind. But those people that are trying to put on weight, their stomach has shrunk down to a size that their capacity is very small. So somebody very thin going in and eating, let's say, and I'm making up these numbers, okay, completely making up these numbers, but let's say they have a 800 calorie stomach. I mean, that's its capacity. Well, that person can't take in a 2,000 calorie meal. They can't. Now, they may be able to take in 800 every single time, or maybe 805, 810, 850. Again, making up numbers. But they can take in a little bit more, and it has to grow. It has to grow back. No different than if you have somebody that has a large stomach, and they're trying to shrink it down. And my point being there is that in those same cases of working with somebody that's extremely thin and has a small stomach and trying to gain weight for health reasons, typically, they're satisfied their hunger. Their hunger is done. It's finished. They're like a child pushing that food away. And when you have a toddler, they don't understand. They don't know what's going on. And so you're trying to make them to gain weight is difficult. And that's because, you know, cravings don't exist in a child. Their hunger does. Going back to the toddler, as your caregiver persevered, you finally learned to please your mother by finishing everything on your plate. You may have been told that if you ate your vegetables, your reward would be dessert. Now, you see what's going on here? Reward. You were bribed with a lollipop if you wouldn't stop crying. You learned to eat all your food because it gave pleasure. It gave pleasure to others. It didn't seem to matter anymore whether you were hungry or not. You were taught to ignore your feelings of hunger and satiety just to please someone else. And you learned well. Now, the reason I bring this up, and I think you can understand, you can start tying it to what I was talking about earlier about reward, about creating good feelings, and it's no different than when we reward a child for some kind of physical feat. You know, we clap to them, trying to get them to walk across the room like we talked about in Balance. And we give them that reward, a big hug, a big smile, a celebration, a piece of candy, whatever it is. We do that with animals, with pets. But now we've started to stimulate the brain. And you're starting to learn, as a child, you're starting to learn that pattern of, okay, if I do these things that may be uncomfortable, a little different than my body has planned for me, I can get a reward. I can get this good feeling. So we're actually born with the idea of satisfy hunger and only satisfy hunger. If that stayed with us, well, 75% of the people wouldn't come to me. if we were just satisfying hunger. Usually, when it comes to a craving, usually we have satisfied a craving far before hunger ever presents itself. That actually goes to another point when I'm talking about the fact that we keep craving even past hunger is satisfied. But we've satisfied, inverting my words there, we're satisfying hunger far before we stop with the craving. If we ingest something, within that 130-minute period, after we have finished a meal, remember I was talking about that, the MMC? When that process takes 130 minutes, if we start to ingest something within that 130-minute period, after we have finished a meal, And after we finish that meal, we've in essence solved a hunger. If we're eating something within that period, we are typically addressing a craving. I watched a client do this. It was interesting because what we were meeting about, what we were talking about, we were actually meeting and talking about this particular individual joining our Catalyst Lifestyle program, where we actually deal with all these things. And we were meeting at a fantastic restaurant, And as will many people when they meet with me in a restaurant, because of what I do for a living, whether I say anything or not, they start being very mindful of what they're eating. They want to eat pretty good food in front of me. And he had ordered a salad. Now, understanding calories the way I do, I happen to know that this, which he didn't know, that this was a 900 calorie salad. It's a good salad. Don't get me wrong. It actually makes up, you know, two, sometimes two and a half meals, but it comes in a big bowl, and of course he was eating that whole good food thing. He was eating pretty food, as I like to call it, because there's no such thing as good food and bad food. And after he finished this 900 calorie salad, and we were still there within that 130 minutes, he took a straw, and he kept dipping the straw continually into a container of blue cheese dressing and eating it. Well, this man was not hungry. He was far from hungry, but he was trying to satisfy a craving. Good news is through our lifestyle change program, which is where we deal with all this, the Catalyst, we did help him with that, obviously. Now, hunger can be cured with a minimal amount of calories, believe it or not. Now, many people argue with this, but it's true. The effects of ghrelin, Modulin, and another hormone involved in it called leptin can be satisfied typically with a small amount of food. The example I always give is that once you've eaten an apple, hunger is gone. Craving's still there. But trust me, grumbling of the stomach, hunger pangs, hunger effects have gone. The concept of I ate an entire meal, but I'm still hungry actually is absurd. You might have eaten an entire meal and then been craving, but hunger is gone. Now, I don't mean to beat up on you when I say this. A lot of people deal with this. Many of us do deal with this. But when we come back from this break, I'm going to show you how you can find out if you're craving or hungry. I'm going to give you some simple tests that you can do to find that out. And I'm going to show you the answers of how to combat cravings effectively and get all this under control. Come back and join me. I can't wait to help solve this problem for you. Listen to the Personalized Fitness Show. This is Garrett Williamson.
Welcome back to the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you on the road to a healthy lifestyle. Here now, Garrett Williamson.
All right, welcome back. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about the differences between craving and hunger. Now, remember, we talked about craving being in the mind and hunger being more of the body. And it's very important to remember about this. And we also talked about how we weren't really born with the desire for craving. Craving is a memory. Craving is something we actually create. We create, we're born with hunger, and then we're taught reward, which leads us to craving, believe it or not. And that hunger can be satisfied with a minimal amount of calories. Now, I mentioned something in the last segment that we deal with this in our lifestyle change program called Catalyst, and I want to talk briefly about that. Catalyst is not a quick weight loss program. I've been in the business for as long as I have. I've been approached by every quick weight loss program out there, and pretty well every one of them. And I've said this many times. I've probably said this on this show, and I'll probably say it many more times. I know I will. I'm not against any weight loss program, any diet. And I said what diet is actually a food program, but a diet and under the way most people understand it, which is a restriction of calories in order for weight control. But I'm not against any quote unquote diet out there that's not illegal, immoral, or fattening. I mean, diets are nothing more than gimmicks, and I'm a fan of healthy gimmicks. I happen to have a fantastic gimmick right next to me, and I dare you to try to find me without it. Wherever it's socially acceptable, I have my water bottle with me, and I have a gimmick. I have rubber bands on my water bottle, and that's how I measure how much water I've had to drink. That's a gimmick. It's a great gimmick, and many diet programs are gimmicks. And they're really good gimmicks. The only problem is that temporarily changing your food is not a lifestyle change. A lifestyle change is having a baby. That's a lifestyle change. You can't have intermittent parenting like you can have an intermittent diet. You can't have a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, you know, 5 days during the week, you're pretty strong in your marriage, and then you're going to have a cheat weekend. No, a marriage is a lifestyle change, and you stick with a marriage. Well, that's what Catalyst is all about. Let's get weight loss out of the way. Weight loss is actually very simple. Very simple. As I tell many of my clients, especially my guys, I tell them, look, if I bet you a large amount of money, a sum that would really you'd perk up and pay attention to. If I bet you a sum of money, and I bet that over this short amount of time, you can't lose this substantial amount of weight. And then when I'm talking to guys, I said, maybe if I said something bad about your significant other or your mother or something, and there's no way you're going to win this bet, there's some things I can count on that would happen during that period of time. I can count on death. I can count on taxes. And I can also count on the fact that you'd win the bet. I mean, weight loss is really not that difficult. Lifestyle change is. And if you don't believe a lifestyle change is difficult, well, or challenging, well, have a child. And from what I understand, get married, because my marriage is not difficult at all. I'm sure you would agree, sweets. But a lifestyle change is very different. It takes 21 days to create a habit. It takes 66 days to make a lifestyle change. In a weight loss program, and addressing that kind of a lifestyle change, understanding why you may have gotten to the point where you are, understanding what changes you made, the lifestyle changes you made to get you there, and trying to get you changed to a healthier lifestyle is what Catalyst is all about. If you're interested in that, you can contact us. We're on 513 West I-65 Service Road North, one of the service road between Spring Hill Avenue and Old Shell Road at Personal Edge Fitness. You can call us there and speak to us about the program. We'll do a consultation with you and talk to you a little more in depth. If you're interested in Catalyst, you can ask for Lindsay Smith. She's the program coordinator for Catalyst, and that phone number is 251-341-0927, or you can reach out to us on our website, personaledgefitness.com, and hit the info button, or Lindsay's contact information. We'll be glad to speak to you about that. But back to hunger versus craving. Now, we talked about the differences. We talked about what they were. We talked about where these things come from. What I'm going to tell you now is how do you recognize the two? Because I'm sure you may be listening and you may be thinking, you know what, I'm really hungry. I'm not craving. Because craving has a bad connotation to it. I understand that. But here's a three simple tests that you can do to see whether or not you're craving. And it works. These work in your mind. They work 100% of the time. They do. They work 100% of the time. Sometimes if you verbalize your answers to these tests, you may lie, but your brain will tell you the truth. That's what's really neat about these tests. Number one is the food test. I'm hungry. I'm really needing something to eat or what have you. Have you eaten anything lately? Pretty simple. You know, I really have not had anything. And I don't mean I've been snacking all day long, but I had my last meal a long time ago. Well, if you've been snacking all day long, well, you're really not, probably not hungry. But if your meal was several hours before, yeah, hunger's a possibility. Hunger's definitely a possibility. If you're looking at something and you want it, but you had your meal recently, the last thing you had to eat recently, then I promise you, you're not dealing with a hunger. You're dealing with a craving. Another test is what we call the mood test. How you feeling? You know, what's going on in your life right then? I mean, are you upset about something? Is something kind of made you aggravated? You've seen this several times in the movie. You may have, hopefully haven't said it yourself, but you've probably known people that have said it. It's been done jokingly, but you hear people get into a frustrating situation and say, I need a drink. And it sounds funny, but that's somebody experiencing something. That's their mood. What's going on around them is becoming stressful, difficult for them, and they're trying to handle it. So their body is craving. And many times we're craving food. People call their situation, I'm a stress eater. Well, that's mood. That's causing you to want to satisfy it with some sort of a chemical. And there's plenty of chemicals in food. My favorite is probably the what I call the vegetable test. Now, the way you do the vegetable test is that, and this usually happens when you see something you really want to eat. And you're thinking, wow, I really want that. I must be hungry. Do what I call the vegetable test. Let's say you're looking at something and you're saying, I want that. And it's typically, if you think about the things that we crave, we typically don't crave spinach. Even if you like spinach, you typically don't crave spinach. You only crave things that have chemicals in them. Sugar, salt, alcohol. Those are three of the types of chemicals that we crave. So if you're seeing something you want to eat, and I'm not sure if I'm craving or I'm hungry, do this. Think of a green vegetable. Something green that you like and something in its rawest form. Now, I'm not talking about, I love asparagus, but I'm not talking about asparagus with holiday sauce on it. I'm not talking about broccoli with cheese. I'm talking about broccoli, hopefully steamed or maybe broiled, not fried. But think of a green vegetable and just kind of picture that in your mind. Mine happens to be broccoli. I love broccoli. And so I picture broccoli in my mind. I picture this perfect bowl of broccoli. And I think, okay, if I had that bowl right here in front of me, would that take care of this situation right here? And if your brain says, yeah, man, I'd kill some broccoli. Oh, my gosh. Broccoli sounds great. Salivating. I'd love to have some broccoli. That's a hunger. But if your brain says, nah, I kind of want that big thing of bread sitting over there. Well, that's a craving. And the last one is a water test. And that is, how much water have you had? Because your body can go a lot longer without food than it can go without water. And many times when you're craving food, your body is really wanting water. And it knows, if you listen to the water radio show, you'll hear this. You hear me talk about this in depth. Your body is wanting water, and it knows how to get water from food, or maybe it knows how to get that. But those are the tests that you can use. So how do you combat cravings? Well, one way is drinking water. Thirst is often confused with food or hunger, and one way is drinking water. Another way, believe it or not, is eating more protein. Protein happens to bring on a feeling of more of being more satisfied, a faster, a longer feeling of satiety. distance yourself from the cravings. Cravings are in the brain. So if you're seeing things that you want to crave and you pass by the table and there's chips or there's candy or there's something on there you usually crave, get it out of your sight. Plan your meals. Plan your meals. Plan so that these things don't happen, these hungers don't happen, these cravings don't even happen because you've got, you're treating it with water, you're treating it with food. Avoid getting extremely hungry. You can do that by planning your meals. You're going to avoid stress best you can. And of course, exercise. Exercise is an appetite suppressant. We talked about this in the metabolism show. That is a fantastic way to control your cravings and really even control hunger to a certain extent. If you're interested in any more information on this, because I touched on a lot of it, and it's a very important subject, but if you're interested in it, please feel free to call our show at 251-278-3343. Let me know where you're calling from. Let me know your comment or question. I'd love to speak to you about that. Now, remember, on September 3rd, we've got the series starting, five-part series on the lie of aging. You'll want to make sure you don't miss that. I sure appreciate you joining me today to talk about craving versus hunger, and I hope to hear from you if you have any more questions about it. But I've sure enjoyed telling you about it. And this is Garrett Williamson. This is the Personal Edge Fitness Show. I want to remind everybody, not only do you want to stay hydrated, not only do you want to control your cravings and your hunger, but most importantly, I want everybody to live their level of wellness. See you soon.
This has been the Personal Edge Fitness Show, helping you live a successful lifestyle. Continue the journey next Tuesday at 6, when Garrett Williamson brings you another edition of the Personal Edge Fitness Show on FM Talk 106.5.